and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Beast from the East by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is where I was planning to start doing the question and answer kind of section of the podcast, where people would submit things via either facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps, or me on Twitter at Dune. Or the email at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com, or however else one could reach me. And I was going to do some questions and some answers, you know, help people with relationship advice, drug advice, cat advice, cats on drug advice, cats having relationship problems due to drug abuse advice. Nah, whatever. Fuck it. Anyway, this is the Beast from the East. I spent all day with a Fred building a model of Deep Space Nine I purchased at the swap meet. So I have a solid buzz on. Drank, I don't know, quite a bit already. So we'll see how this goes so far. Sorry, I was readjusting the microphone placement. On that note, chapter number one, yeah. This is my second attempt at chapter number one, seeing as how my first attempt was just like one horrible joke after the next and I never got anywhere. Drinking a Tecate. When I was a really little girl, my mom would tuck me into bed at night. She would whisper, "Good night, Ginger. Good night. Don't let the bed bugs bite." I didn't know what bed bugs were. I pictured fat red bugs with big eyes and spidery legs crawling under the sheet. Just thinking about them made me itchy all over. After Mom kissed me on the forehead and left, Dad would step into my room and sing to me very softly the same song every night. The Teddy Bear's Picnic. That's as far as I got last time. It was just like dick joke and the mom's on fucking heroin. That's funny somehow, I guess. And the song. And then I just cut into a rendition of me singing Guar's Nitro Burning Funny Bong for like a minute and a half. And then I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Oh, I'm doing it again. God damn it. I don't know why he thought that song made a good lullaby. It was about going into the woods and finding hundreds and hundreds of bears. The song gave me the shivers. What were the bears eating at their picnic? Probably dongs with anything like the bears I hang out with, am I right? Children? After Dad kissed me on the forehead and left the room, I'd be itching and shaking for hours. Then I'd have nightmares about bedbugs and bears. Until a few years ago, I was afraid to go into the woods. I don't live somewhere where there's woods. I live right next to the stadium where there's a loud monster truck rally going on in the stadium where the Chargers play. But I'm from somewhere I walk to the beach and stuff like that, so I didn't have woods. And all I know about woods is that you go there to either smoke pot, find pornography in bushes, or impregnate, like, 15-year-old girls. Or get murdered. Woods sound like a terrible thing. Especially if they're full of bedbugs and bears, am I right? Brought it back. I'm 12 now, and I'm not scared any longer. At least, I wasn't scared until our family camping trip this summer. That's when I discovered that there were a lot scarier creatures than bears in the woods. But I guess I'd better begin at the beginning. The first thing I remember about our camping trip is Dad yelling at my brothers. I have two 10-year-old brothers, Pat and Nat. You guessed it. My parents are douchebags, and the kids are twins. Fucking Pat and Nat. Are you fucking kidding me? Lucky me, huh? Pat and Nat aren't just twins. They're identical twins. They look so much alike, they confuse each other. Ah, Carl Pilkington was right. If you are a twin, it's hard to tell which one you are. They are both short and skinny. They both have round faces and big brown eyes. They both wear their brown hair parted in the middle and straight down in the sides, as was the trend in the 90s, looking much like that douchebag that went into Clarissa's window. When Clarissa explains it all. What? They look like him. They both wore baggy jeans that were faded and shit, and a black and red skater t-shirts with slogans no one can understand. There's only one way to tell Pat from Nat or Nat from Pat. You have to ask them who they are. I expected something more clever out of you, R.L. Stein. I remember that our camping trip began on a beautiful sunny day. The air smelled piney and fresh. Twigs and dead leaves crackled under our shoes as we followed a twisted path through the woods. Dad led the way. He carried the tent over his shoulder, and he had a bulging backpack on his side. Mom followed him. She was also loaded down with stuff we needed. The path led through a glassy clearing. The sun felt hot on my face. My backpack began to feel heavy. I wondered how much deeper into the woods Mom and Dad wanted to go. Pat and Nat followed behind us with their stupid fucking names. Dad kept turning around to yell at them. We all had to yell at Pat and Nat, otherwise they never seemed to hear us. They only heard each other. Why was Dad yelling? Well, for one thing, Nat kept disappearing. Nat likes to climb trees. If he sees a good tree, he climbs it. I think he's part chimpanzee. Because he's African-American. I tell him that as often as I can. Then he scratches his chest and makes chimp noises. He thinks it's real funny. One time, he threw poo-poo in my face. I got tapeworms. So there we were, hiking through the woods. Every time we turned around, Nat would be up a tree somewhere. It was slowing us down. So Dad had to yell at him. Then Dad had to yell at Pat because of his Game Boy. I told you not to bring that thing! Dad shouted. Dad is big and broad, kind of like a bear or Dune, and he has a booming voice. It doesn't do much good. Pat and Nat never listen to him because they're still bitter about being named Pat and Nat. Pat walked along, eyes on his Game Boy, his fingers hammering the controls. Why are we hiking in the woods? Oh, wait. Why are we hiking in the woods? Dad asked him. You could be home in your room doing that. Put it away, Pat, and check out the scenery. I can't, Dad, Pat protested. I can't quit now. I'm on level 6. I've never made it to level 6 before. More like you're not going to make it to base 2 ever, am I right? Will someone please email me and explain to me what the bases are? Because I think growing up for me, and I know that they change all the time because, you know, my parents' generation, it was like kissing was third base and meeting the parents was second. And then first base was, you know, just being legally able to date by being in the same racial group. And then home base was still fucking. But then I grew up and it was like kissing was first base. Second base is like grabbing a boob or two. Yeah. And then third base is oral. And then home is sex. But I have the feeling the kids nowadays start with just finger in the butt. That's first base. And then second base is they film a full sex tape, you know, and put it up. You know, they're Snapchatting with and doing stuff. And then third base is getting knocked up. And then home base for them is being in a serious committed relationship. But that rarely happens. There goes a chipmunk, Mom chimed in, pointing. Mom is a great wildlife guide. She points out everything that moves. Pat didn't raise his eyes from his Game Boy. Where's Nat? Dad demanded, his eyes searching the clearing. Up here, Dad, Nat called. I shielded my eyes with one hand and saw him on a high branch of a tall oak tree. Get down from there, Dad shouted. That branch won't hold you. Hey, I made it to level 7, Pat declared, fingering frantically. Sometimes it's better just to emphasize rather than make jokes. Look, 2 bunny rabbits, Mom cried. See them in the tall grass? Let's keep walking, I groaned. It's too hot here. I wanted to get out of the clearing and back under the cool shade of the trees. Ginger is the only sensible one, Dad said, shaking his head. Ginger is a freak, Nat called, sliding down from the oak tree. We made our way through the woods. I don't know how long we walked. It was so beautiful, so peaceful. Beams of sunlight poked through the high branches, making the ground sparkle like Edward Cullen. I found myself humming that song about bears in the woods. I don't know what made it pop into my head. Dad hadn't sung it to me in years and years. We stopped for lunch by a clear, trickling stream. This would make a nice camping spot, Mom suggested. We can set up the tent on the grass over here by the shore. Mom and Dad started.
What the hell is this book doing? I'm going off PDFs again. I'm using a tablet, and I'm holding the tablet horizontally, so it's confusing.
Mom and Dad started to unpack the equipment and set up the tent. I helped them. Pat and Nat threw stones into the stream. Then they got into a wrestling match and tried to shove each other into the water. Take them into the woods, Dad instructed me. Try to lose them, okay? He was joking, of course. He had no way of knowing that Pat, Nat, and I would soon be lost for real, with little hope of ever returning. Chapter number 2. What do you want to do? Nat demanded. He had picked up a thin tree branch to use as a walking stick. Stip. Stip? That's not a word, is it? Stick. Pat kept slapping at it, trying to make Nat stumble. We had followed the stream for a while. I saw a million tiny silver minnows swimming near the surface. Now we were making our own path through the tangle of trees, low shrubs, and rocks. Hide and seek, Pat declared. He slapped Nat. You're it. Nat slapped him back.
I feel like I'm reading Hop on Pop here.
You're it. You're it. You're it. You're it.
Oh my God.
The slaps kept getting harder. I'll be it, I cried. Anything to keep them from murdering each other. Hurry, go hide. Don't go too far. I leaned against a tree, shut my eyes, and started to count to 100. I could hear them scampering into the trees. After 30, I counted by tens. I didn't want to give them too big of a head start. Ready or not, here I come, I called. I found Pat after only a few minutes. We had crept... Not we. He.
Tecate.
He had crouched behind a large white mound of sand.
Or maybe a dune.
He thought he was hidden, but I spotted his brown hair poking up over the dune.
It said sand, but I put my name in there instead.
I tagged him easily. Nat was harder to find. He had climbed a tree, of course. He was way up at the top, completely hidden by thick clumps of green leaves. I never would have found him if he hadn't spit on me.
Ugh, gross, that's how you get hepatitis.
Get down, creep, I shouted angrily. I waved a fist up at him. You're disgusting, get down now. He giggled and peered down at me. Did I hit you? I didn't answer. I waited for him to climb down to the ground. Then I rubbed a handful of dry leaves in his face until he was sputtering and choking. Just a typical walled family hide-and-seek game. After that, we chased a squirrel through the woods. The poor thing kept glancing back at us, as if he didn't believe we were chasing after him. He finally got tired of the race and scurried up a tall pine tree. I glanced around. The trees in this part of the woods grew close together. Their leaves blocked most of the sunlight. Their air felt cooler here. In the shade, it was nearly as dark as evening.
Let's go back, I suggested.
Mom and Dad might be getting worried. The boys didn't argue. Which way? Nat asked. I glanced around, making a complete circle with my eyes, unlike Vietnamese people. That way? I pointed. I was guessing, but I felt 99% sure.
But a bitch ain't one. Oh, wait, that didn't make sense.
Are you sure? Pat asked. He eyed me suspiciously. I could see he was a little worried. Pat didn't like the outdoors as much as Nat and me. Sure, I'm sure, I told him. I led the way. They followed close behind. They had picked up walking sticks. After we walked a few minutes, they started a duel with them.
I ignored them. I had my own worries. I wasn't sure where we were walking in the right direction. In fact, I felt totally turned around. "Hey, there's a stream," I cried happily. I immediately felt better. We weren't lost. I had picked the right direction. Yeah, it's good that she didn't need a new direction. New direction. Nude erection. Good stuff. Now, all we had to do was follow the stream back to the clearing where we had set up camp. I began to hum again. The boys tossed their sticks into the stream. We began to jog along the grassy shore. Whoa! I cried out when my left boot started to sink. I nearly fell into a deep mud patch. I pulled my hiking boot up, soaked in wet brown mud over the ankle. Pat and Nat thought that was a riot. Really? Putting that in there too, RL? They laughed and slapped each other's high fives. I growled at them, but I didn't waste any words. They were both hopeless. So totally immature. Now, I couldn't wait to get back to camp and clean the thick mud off my boot. We jogged along the shore, then cut through the skinny, white-trunked trees and into the clearing. Mom! Dad! I called, hurrying over the grass. We're back! I stopped so short, both boys tumbled into me, my eyes searching the clearing. Mom? Dad? They were gone. Heyo! If there's one thing podcasts are about, it's honesty. So, to be completely honest, I have no idea what happened in the first 15 minutes of this show. I recorded it, I think blackout drunk. I think the worst piece of advice ever given to me was from Gio, explaining that, no, it's cool. The drunker you get, the more entertaining the show is. And then I always justify it to myself. But I truly don't know what happened in the book. I don't know what I said there. Part of me says I should just start over again, because I only went, I guess, 2 chapters in 15 minutes. But I don't know. Honestly, it'll be better if I just put it out and say, fuck it. I know I stopped because I thought I wasn't being funny or interesting. That's all I really remember from it. This is The Beast of the East. I'm drinking Steel Reserve right now, so clearly I've learned nothing from this. Jesus, people. All right, sorry.
Chapter number 3.
They left us, Pat exclaimed. He ran frantically around the clearing. Mom? Dad? Earth to Pat, Nat called. Total Zoolander reference. He waved his hand in front of Pat's face. We're in the wrong place, you wimp. Nat is right, I replied, glancing around. There were no footprints. Especially not big Sasquatch ones like the last episode, because it was about abominable snowman in Pasadena. No tent markers. We were in a different clearing. I thought you knew the way, Ginger, Pat complained. Didn't they teach you anything at nature camp? Nature camp. Last summer, my parents forced me to spend 2 weeks at an explore the great outdoors camp. I got poison ivy in my hoo-ha the first day. After that, I didn't listen to shit the counselor said. Now, I wished I had. We should have left markers on the trees, I said, to find our way back. Now you can think of it. Nat groaned, using improper grammar. Rolling his eyes, he picked up a long, crooked stick and waved into my face. Give me that, I ordered. Nat handed me the stick. Yellow sap oozed onto my palm. It smelled sour. Gross! I shouted. I tossed the stick away, rubbing my hands on my jeans, but the yellow stain wouldn't come off my palm. That's what happens when you give a hand job to an Asian dude. That's weird, I thought. I wondered what the stuff was. I definitely didn't like it on my skin. Let's follow the stream, I suggested. Mom and Dad can't be too far. I tried to sound calm, but I was totally twisted around. In fact, I had no idea where we were. We headed out of the clearing and back to the shore. The sun fell lower in the sky. It prickled the back of my neck. Nat and Geo tossed pebbles.
Nat and Geo? Was that National Geographic? Or was I still thinking about the weird Giovanni quote? Nat and Geo? It says Pat and Nat. Come on, brain. Kick on. Pat and Nat tossed pebbles in the water. After a few minutes, they tossed them at each other. Do kids still do that? I remember just throwing rocks at people. And we all had slingshots that we made, and we just slingshot, like, hard staining berries at each other. And shoot BB guns at each other with, like, one or two pumps. So it's totally cool. Or, like, when the CO2 was dying on a... Do kids still have BB guns, actually? Oh, fuck. I ignored them. At least they weren't throwing anything at me. As we walked along, the air became cooler. The path grew narrower. The water turned dark and murky. Silvery blue fish snapped at the air. The skinny branches of the tall trees reached down toward us. A feeling of dread swept over me. Pat and Nat grew quiet. They actually stopped picking on each other. I don't remember any of these bushes near our campsite, Pat said nervously. He pointed to a short, squat plant. Its strange blue leaves looked like open umbrellas stacked on top of one another. Are you sure we're going the right way? By now, I was sure we weren't headed in the right direction. I didn't remember those strange bushes either. Then, we heard a noise on the other side of the shrubs. Maybe that's Mom and Dad, Pat exclaimed. We pushed our way through the plants and ran into another deserted clearing. Oh, man, they are fucked. I glanced around. The grassy field was enormous, large enough for 100 tents. It's going to be some shitty music festival there, where it's like hippie-looking people, but for some reason they only listen to electronic dance music. What's that deal? Hey, hippies, I thought you were into, like, Dave Matthews Band and shit and Fish and whatnot. My heart hammered against my chest. You should lay off the speed. That's what Lax Dude always tells me. We stood on rust-colored grass. It stuck up over my ankle. A clump of gigantic purple cabbage plants grew to our right. This place is cool, Nat cried. Everything is so big. To me, the clearing wasn't cool at all. It gave me the creeps. Strange trees surrounded us on all sides. Their branches shot out at right angles to the trunk. They resembled stairs going up and up and up, up into the clouds. They were the tallest trees I'd ever seen, and perfect for climbing. Red moss clung to the branches. Yellow gourds hung from the braided vines, swaying in the air. Where were we? This looked like a weird jungle, not the woods. Why were all the trees and plants so strange? A knot formed in the pit of my stomach. Where was our clearing? Where were Mom and Dad? Nat jogged over to a tree. I'm climbing up, he said. No, you don't, I protested. Mm-mm. I rushed over and pulled his arm from the branch. The red moss rubbed against my palm. My skin turned red where I touched it. Now I had a red and yellow design on my hand. Oh my god, it's just one after another. Ah, oh, hand job right now. First for an Asian guy, then a Native American. I wonder what's coming next, you know? What makes the red man come? What's going on here? I wondered. Before I could show my hand to my brothers, the tree started to shake. Whoa, watch out! I cried. A small furry animal jumped out of the branches and landed at my feet. I had never seen anything like it before. It was the size of a chipmunk, brown all over, except for a white patch around one eye. It had a bushy tail and floppy ears like a bunny, and two big front teeth like a beaver. Its flat nose twitched. It stared at me with gray eyes, round with fear. I watched it scurry away. What the fuck was that? Pat asked. I shrugged. I wondered what other kinds of weird creatures lived in these woods. I'm kind of scared, Pat admitted, huddling close to me. I felt scared, too, but I knew I was the big sister, so I told him everything was okay. What a liar. Then I glanced down. Nat Pat! I shouted, look! My muddy boot stood inside a footprint 3 times the size of mine. No, even bigger. What kind of animal had a footprint that huge?
I don't think I was supposed to read these two foots back to back. Foots. Wow, brain. These two books back to back. As I think this exact same shtick was in the last one I read. A bear. A giant gorilla. Shaq. I didn't have time to think about it. The ground started to tremble. Did you feel that? I asked my brothers. It's Dad, Pat shouted. It definitely was not Dad. He's a big guy, but no way he could make the ground shake that way. Oh, it's probably their parents just going at it. Fucking. I heard grumbles and growls coming from somewhere in the distance, and then a roar! Twigs and branches snapped loudly in the air. Twigs and berries snapped loudly in my mouth. All three of us gasped as a tall beast stomped through the trees. It was fucking huge. So tall its head touched the middle branches. That's not a very accurate description of height. It had a narrow, pointed head over a long neck. Its eyes shone like bright green marbles. Shaggy blue fur covered every part of its body. Its long, furry tail thumped heavily on the ground. The weirdest creature I'd ever seen in my life. The beast entered the far side of the clearing. I sucked in my breath as it drew closer. Close enough for me to see its long snout, its nostrils flared and shit, in and out as it sniffed through the air. Come on, use your words, Dune. My brothers hung back, hiding behind me. We huddled together, trembling. The beast opened its mouth. Two rows of sharp, yellow teeth rose up from purple gums. I'm colorblind, so I would have thought the gums were blue, just like the fur. One long, jagged fang slid down over the creature's chin. I crouched on my hands and knees, pulled my brothers down with me. The beast spun around in circles. It sniffed the air and wiggled its hairy, pointed ears. Had it smelled us? Was it searching for us? I couldn't think. I couldn't move. The beast turned its ugly head. It stared at me. It saw me. Did The Office get progressively worse each season, or was it always shitty and I was young enough when it came out that I thought it was funny? Sorry, the Netflix is just playing the thing over and over, showing a picture from The Office and explaining they have all 9 seasons. And, yeah.
Chapter number 4. My eyes on the creature, I grabbed my brothers by their t-shirts. I dragged them behind some of the huge cabbage plants. The beast stayed on the other side of the clearing, sniffing the air. It stomped back and forth, sniff, sniff, thing hard. Oh, yeah. The ground seemed to shake each time one of its furry paws hit the ground. I could feel Nat and Pat shiver with fear.
The beast turned away from us. Phew, I thought.
It hasn't seen us.
Wait, the last chapter ended with the line, it saw me. Now you can't claim it hasn't seen you.
That's hack writing, R.L. Stine, and you know it, you asshole. It dropped on all fours. It pressed its snout to the ground and crept along, making loud, snuffling noises. I didn't tell Pat or Nat what I was thinking. The beast hadn't seen us, but there was no way we could keep it from smelling us. Its long tail swished back and forth. The tail banged against the tree. It banged like Chief Keef's song, I Don't Like. Gourds fell to the ground. The beast crawled into the center of the clearing. Closer! I dug my fingernail into my palm. Turn around, beast, I prayed like Professor X. Go back into the woods. The blue creature stopped. It sniffed again, and then it turned. It began to creep in our direction. I swallowed. Hard. My mouth suddenly felt so dry. The creature's tail pushed against one of the cabbage plants near us. The leaves rustled. Get down. I whispered, shoving my brothers. We stretched out flat on the ground. The beast stopped a few feet from our hiding place. Its tail brushed my arm. The fur felt rough and scratchy. I jerked my arm away. Could he feel me? Was I like a tiny animal to him? One he could pick up and squeeze the way my brothers teased our dog. The beast rose up on its hind legs and sniffed. It towered over the cabbage plant. It had to be at least 8 feet tall. It picked at its fur and clawed with a clawed thumb and placed whatever it found in its mouth. What the fuck is up with my brain? Once this chapter finishes, I'm going to get hydrated and drunk. A pleased grin formed under its twitching snout. It peered around the clearing. Don't look down, I prayed. Don't see us. My body tensed. The creature growled and ran its long tongue over its fang. Then it tromped off into the trees. I let out a sigh of relief. We'd better wait a few minutes, I told my brothers. I counted to 100. Then I crawled out from behind the plant. No sign of the creature. But then I felt the earth shake. That was the sound of the earth shaking. Oh, no! I gasped. Here it comes again. I bet the monster's not coming back, and it's like her dad finding her. My wireless mouse is slowly pulsating and glowing with a red light. The whole thing is lighting up, and it looks like a heart. Does that mean it needs a new battery? Or has it become sentient and it loves me? Either way, it doesn't stop us from reading Chapter 5. The beast's enormous blue head bobbed up between the trees. How had it come back so fast? And from the other direction?
It's probably a different beast, but it's also not the dad, so I'm wrong and I'm an idiot.
We scrambled back to our hiding place behind the huge cabbage plant. We have to get away from here, I whispered. If it keeps searching back and forth, it's bound to find us. How do we get away? Nat demanded. I picked up a gourd from the ground. I'll throw this gourd. The beast will turn its head to see what the noise is. Then we'll run in the other direction. But what if it sees us? What if it chases us? Nat asked. He didn't seem happy about my plan. Nat and Pat exchanged nervous glances. Yeah, what if it runs faster than us? Pat demanded. It won't, I said, bluffing. But my brothers didn't know that. I peeked over the top of the cabbage. The creature stood closer than ever. It sniffed the air, its pink snout coiling like a snake. I glanced at the gourd in my hand, then brought my arm back, ready to throw. Wait, Pat whispered. Look! My arm froze where it was, like an army man, the one with the grenade that's throwing shit. That guy's cool as hell. Another beast had tromped into the clearing, and another, and another! I gulped. More blue beasts clomped into the clearing. No way could we make a run for it now. The enormous creatures tromped around the clearing. They growled and grunted to each other. One stopped and jabbered loudly in a deep, gravelly voice. The folds of hairless skin under its chin wobbled back and forth. Look at them all, Nat murmured. There must be at least 24. A small beast jogged into the clearing. Its fur shone a brighter blue than the rest. It stood only about 3 feet tall. Was it a child? A young beast? An overgrown smurf? The tiny beast placed its short pink snout on the ground and sniffed. Dirt and dried up bits of leaves stuck to its snout. It looks hungry, Pat whispered. With no knowledge of what the beast looks like when it's hungry, so Pat should shut the fuck up. Shh, I warned. The tiny beast glanced up eagerly in our direction. It did look hungry. But for what?
Sex.
Just kidding. Just kidding. That was even funny. I held my breath. The small beast suddenly scooped a gourd off the ground. It shoved the whole thing in its mouth and crunched down. Yellow juice squirted between its lips and soaked down its shaggy blue fur. I was so excited I couldn't even speak, and then I tried again. It eats fruit, I cheered silently. That was a good sign. Maybe they were vegetarians, I thought. Maybe they don't eat meat. I knew that most wild animals ate only one type of food, either meat or else fruits and vegetables. Except for bears, I suddenly remembered. Bears will eat both. A large beast thudded over to the kid. It yanked the little creature to its feet and began jabbering angrily at it. It dragged the kid back towards the woods. The beast with the hairless folds of skin stepped into the center of the clearing. Grr! It snorted at the others. It waved a furry paw in a circle. It waved and grunted and jabbered. The other creatures nodded and grunted to one another. They seemed to understand each other. They seemed to be grunting some kind of language. Sorry, the only other language I speak is whatever the statues in the Tiki Room are saying at Disneyland. The big beast gave a final grunt. The other creatures turned back towards the woods. They spread out and began to creep silently into the trees. I felt the earth trembling under the pounding of their feet. Twigs and leaves crackled and cracked. In a few seconds, they had vanished. The clearing stood empty. I let out another long sigh of relief. What are they doing anyway? Pat asked. Nat wiped sweat off his forehead. Like a black guy singing. They act as if they're searching for something, he answered. Hunting. I swallowed hard. I knew what they were hunting for. They were hunting for Poontang. Oh, sorry, us. They were hunting for us. And now there were so many of them spread out in every direction. We don't stand a chance, I realize. They're gonna catch us. And then what? All right, I'm now drinking a Tetley's Pub Ale, or Pube Ale. I didn't read it fully. It's only 3.6%, which is frustrating because I bought it not knowing that. But it's nice knowing that I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to try it anyway. I think I can legally drink it while driving and it doesn't count. So that's good. So this is good. It's my little break where I'm going to get hydrated and not lose my buzz by staying on this 3.6 bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, it's chapter 6. I stood up slowly. I turned in a full circle, checking everywhere for a sign of the hairy creatures. Their low grumbles and growls faded in the distance. The ground stopped shaking. A gust of cool wind blew through the clearing. It made the gourds in the trees knock against each other. An eerie melody whistled through the trees. I shuddered. Let's get out of here! Now! Nat cried. Wait! I told him. I grabbed his arm. There's no H in arm. And held him back. Those beasts are too near. They'll hear us or see us. Yeah, well, I'm not gonna stick around. I'm gonna run as hard as I can. I'm out of here! He's the guy that if he was in, like, World War I or two... He, like, jump out of the trenches and be like, enough's enough! I'm gonna go text clack! And just get shot in the forehead. And the guys wouldn't even feel bad. They just pull him back into the bunker solely to go into his breast pocket and pull out the pictures of his last at home and just pound off viciously to him out of disrespect for him because he was such a fucking danger to the rest of the people in his, I can't think of the word that you use to describe... A group of soldiers. I'm with you. Pat leaped to his feet. But which way do we go? He asked. We can't go anywhere now, I argued. We're lost. We don't know which way to go. So we have to stay right here. Mom and Dad will come find us. I know they will. And what if they don't? What if they're in trouble too? Nat asked. Dad knows how to survive in the woods, I said firmly, and we don't. At least I don't. If only I'd listened at the outdoors camp. I do, too, Pat whined. I can take care of myself, right, Nat? Let's get out of here. Who was he kidding? Pat didn't even like the woods. He didn't even like getting morning wood. But he's stubborn. When he gets an idea, no one can change his mind. And Nat always agrees with him. Twins. Ginger, are you coming or not? Pat demanded. You're crazy, I told him. We have to stay here. That's the rule, remember? Mom and Dad always told us, if you ever get lost, stay where we are. If we ever get lost, stay where we are. And if you're ever playing laser tag at Ultra Zone, just stand in one place and yell Game Master, and then someone will help you. But there are only two of Mom and Dad, and there are three of us, Pat argued, so we should go find them. He stated without any knowledge of what logic is. But they're not the ones who are lost, I cried. I think we should go, Pat repeated. We have to get away from these ugly creatures. Okay, I told him, we'll go. At least we'll be together. I still thought they were wrong, but I couldn't let them go off without me. What if something horrible happened to them? Besides, I didn't want to stay in these strange woods alone. As I turned to follow them, I glimpsed something move in the tall grass. Did no one learn anything from Pokemon but me? You don't walk in tall grass if you don't want to be attacked by things. It's just good logic. It's them! Nat stammered. They're back! I stared at the grass in horror. Run! Pat shrieked. He bolted across the clearing. A squirrel scurried out of the grass. Pat, wait! Nat yelled. It's only a squirrel, I shouted. He didn't hear us. Nat and I took off, chasing after Pat. Pat! Hey, Pat! I didn't see the thick, twisted root that poked out of the ground. I tripped over it and hit the ground hard. I lay there stunned. Nat knelt down beside me. He grabbed my arm and helped me to my feet. I glanced up. Pat had already vanished into the woods. I couldn't see him anywhere. We have to catch up to him, I told Nat breathlessly. I straightened up, brushing the dirt off my knees. That's a song I made. I said you gotta brush that dirt off your knees. Because there's a Jay-Z song, you know? You know, he calls himself Jigar. No? I think I've already made that comment on this podcast. The earth started to tremble. Oh, fuck! Nat moaned. The creatures were back. I whirled around. Big blue beasts pushed back through the trees. I counted four behind us, three on my left, and five to our right. For anyone who wasn't counting, that's 12. I gave up counting. So did I. I gave up reading and sobriety also. Wait, I guess I can't say reading as I'm currently reading a book. Damn it! There were too many of them. 12. I already said 12. The big one grunted and raised its furry paws high in the air. It pointed at us. The other creatures grunted and uttered cries of excitement. They've caught us, I groaned. Ginger, Nat whispered. His eyes opened wide with terror. I clutched at his hand and held it tight. The beasts grew closer and formed a circle around us. Nowhere to run now. We're trapped, I whispered. The beasts began to growl. Chapter number 7. Over the drone of their low growls, I heard the eerie melody whistling through the gourds again. Nat huddled close to me. They've got us, he whispered. Do you think they got Pat? I couldn't answer. I couldn't talk. I felt weak and helpless.
I guess it really is a girl that's the main character, am I right? Up top, Franklin and Yoda. The male pets? No? Okay. Fuck you guys.
Sweat ran down. What the fuck did my voice just do? Did I just glitch? Sweat ran down my face into my eyes. I wanted to wipe the sweat away, but I couldn't lift my hand to do it. I was too scared to move. Then the beast with the flabby chin stepped forward. It stopped a few inches away from me. I slowly raised my eyes. I stared at its furry belly, then its broad chest. I saw shiny black insects crawling in its fur. Someone could use advantage. I raised my eyes to its face. Its green eyes glared down at me. It opened its mouth. I stared helplessly at its long,
fang chipped on the end. You don't need a tooth like that for eating fruit, I thought, as someone who's never started an apple. Am I right, fruit eaters? The beast stretched to its full height. It raised a furry paw behind it, high above us, ready to strike. Nat huddled close to me. I could practically feel his heart beating through his t-shirt. Or maybe it was my own heart that was pounding. The creature growled and swung. I squeezed my eyes shut. I felt a slap on my shoulder, so hard it knocked me backwards. "You're it!" the creature bellowed. This is wacky, huh, Yodi? This is for kids, isn't it? Let's see what happens now on chapter number 8. Huh? My mouth dropped open in astonishment. "You're it!" the beast repeated. I gaped at Nat. His eyes bulged in surprise. It talked, Nat stammered to me, in our language. The creature scowled at Nat. I talk in many languages, he growled. We have a universal language adapter.
Oh. It's a beetlefish? That's not right.
Babblefish! God, I have a fucking stupid Hitchhiker's Guide tattoo right here I'm looking at. And I couldn't even get Babblefish. Babelfish? Whatever. It's a book. Oh, Nat said weakly. He and I exchanged stunned glances. The creature growled again and took a step closer to me. Did you hear me? He growled. You're it. His marbled eyes glared into mine.
He tapped a paw impatiently on the ground. What do you mean? I asked.
The creature grunted. You're the beast from the east, he said.
What are you talking about? I'm not a beast, I'm a girl, I declared. Ginger walled.
I am a flag, the beast replied, pounding himself on the chest.
He waved a paw at the creature beside him, a beast with one eye missing.
This is Spork.
Not Spock, Spork, as in the eating utensil that 13-year-old girls like to reference to think they're unique and funny, but they're not.
Hey, look, it's a monkey with a spork potato.
Fuck, I hate everyone in Tumblr. That's just dragged in there. Flag announced.
Flag pounded the other beast on the back.
Spork grunted at Nat and me. I stared at his dark, empty eye socket, and I spotted a deep black scar on the side of Spork's nose. An eye missing and a scar. The big creature had been in a pretty nasty fight. I hoped it wasn't a fight with a human. Besides, if Spork was the winner, I would hate to see the loser.
Nat gaped at Spork.
This is my brother Nat.
Spork growled in reply. Have you seen our mom and dad?
Okay, I read flag. So I assumed it was, but clearly that's not the case.
Have you seen our mom and dad? I asked Flag.
See, we're all here camping. We got separated, but we're trying to get back together and go home, so we'd better go.
There are others?
Flag glanced sharply around the clearing.
Where?
That's the problem, Nat answered. We can't find them.
Flag grunted. If you can't find them, then let's play. Right, that's the rule. Spork agreed.
He scratched at the insects that climbed around his fur.
Now, start moving, Flag demanded. It's getting late, and you're it.
I stared at Nat. This was too weird.
What did he mean? They can't play. And why'd he keep saying I was it? Did they want to play tag or something?
The circle of beasts began stomping their paws, shaking the forest ground.
Play. Play.
Play!
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 They chanted. Play what? I demanded. Is this really some kind of game?
Spork's eyes bulged. A big smile spread under his ugly pink snout.
The best game.
Oh, Borderlands 2.
He said.
But you're too slow to win.
Ah, damn it. That means they're probably playing Okie Cookie.
Spork rubbed his paws together. He ran his tongue over the tops of his teeth.
You should run,
he grunted.
Yes, run, Flag ordered, before I count to trell. Hold on, I protested. What if we don't want to play? Yeah, why should we? Nat demanded. You have to play, Flag replied. Read the sign over there. He pointed to a cardboard sign tacked to one of the gourd trees. The sign read, Game in Season. Flag stared down at me. His eyes narrowed menacingly. His wet nose flared. By the way, it said Game in Season, and I feel like I have to clear up that it says season, not session, which is what it should say. Or, you know, what it seems like it should be saying. The point is I read it right, but then saying this fucked it up anyway. He grinned. Not a friendly grin, more of a molestery grin. Game in Season, Nat read the sign in a trembling voice. You have to tell us how to play, I declared. I mean, we can't play a game without knowing what it is. Spork growled deep in his throat and moved closer to me. He probably had to move closer because he only has one eye and he doesn't have depth perception. Just like my uncle doesn't have one eye, or he does have one eye. He has two different colored eyes. But the point is, he can't see out of one of them. And we went on the ride at Disneyland, not the ride, the 3D thing before they put Captain EO back in, which was called Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. And then I was like, how is that fucking fun for you to watch? You don't have depth perception. He's like, oh yeah, that fucking sucked. Such is life. So close I could smell his fur. What a sour stench. Flag reached out a paw and held Spork back. It's a good game, Flag told us. It's a very exciting.
Why is it so exciting? I asked.
He narrowed his eyes. It's a game
of survival,
he replied with a grin.
Quick side note on everything. I'm recording this on Friday night because I really would like to keep to my Saturday release schedule. Obviously, I didn't do it last Saturday because I was working on the archive.org stuff on Tuesday, which is kind of my new designated recording day after I quit the old comics online, but I had a fucking horrible migraine. And then the week before, on Monday, I had a migraine. And I'm starting to get the thing that's post-something-something, which the next day after a migraine, I just have a headache all day and I'm miserable and irritable. And starting to get scared about those again. I don't have a brain tumor. That's been tested, but it could be something else seriously wrong. Oh, life. Chapter 9.
Survival? No fucking way I wanted to play. You have to wait until the sun sinks behind the Gullah Willow, Flag declared.
What is a Gullah Willow?
Binya Binya, Nat asked.
My tablet's telling me that it wants me to plug it in and stop reading off of it.
And where is it? I wanted to know. At the edge of the woods, Flag replied. He waved a paw to the trees. Which edge? Where? How will we know which tree? I demanded. Flag flashed Spork a grin. They both made weird choking sounds in their throats. I could tell they were laughing. All the other creatures started laughing, too. Such an ugly sound, more like gagging than laughing. We can't play the game unless we know more, I shouted. The laughter stopped. Spork scratched the bugs on his chest.
It's simple. If you're it, when the sun goes down, you lose,
he told me. The others grunted in agreement.
And what happens to the losers?
I asked in a trembling voice.
They have to work in retail!
Just kidding, they're gonna eat them, Flag replied.
Excuse me? I asked. You're going to eat us?
Actually, let me go back and go... ignore my retail joke, I asked in a trembling voice.
We nibble on them, Flag replied.
Excuse me, I asked. You nibble?
Yes, we nibble on them until dinner time, and then we eat them.
Chapter number 10. How much battery do I got left? Still 14%.
The creatures around us exploded into moral laughter as if they were African Americans watching Kevin Hart. Who the hell likes Kevin Hart? What is the appeal of him? He is short and black. The sick gagging sound made me feel like puking.
It's not funny, Nat shrieked.
Flagg narrowed his eyes at us.
It's our favorite game.
Well, I don't like your game, Nat cried.
We're not going to play. We don't want to,
I added.
Spork's eye lit up.
You mean you surrender? You give up?
He smacked his lips hungrily.
No, I shouted.
Nat and I jumped back. We'll play. But by the rules. You have to tell us the rules. Every single last goddamn one of them.
A cloud rolled overhead. It cast a shadow over the clearing. I shivered.
Were they going to attack us because we didn't want to play?
Made in the shade, Spork cried suddenly.
Made in the shade, Flagg repeated.
Huh? What the fuck is going on? I demanded.
The cloud suddenly passed.
No time to explain, Flagg said.
He waved a paw at the other creatures.
Let's go, he insisted. This time out has been too long.
This isn't fair, Nat protested. Please, we need to know the rules.
Okay, Flagg said as he turned to go.
Gling, you must always attack from the east.
The east? I muttered. I raised my hand to shade my eyes as I scanned the clearing.
East, north, south, west. Eat never shredded wheat.
Huh. I pictured a map. East was to my right and west was to my left. But which direction was east out here in the woods? Why hadn't I listened to the outdoors camp?
Prue, the brown squares are free lunch squares, Flagg continued.
You mean they're for resting? They're safe? I asked. I like that rule. Maybe we could find a brown square and stay there until sunset.
Flagg snorted. No!
Free lunch. It means anyone can eat you.
Wait, these are the rules from Battle Royale. I've only seen that movie like 30 times, so I'm pretty sure I understand them pretty well.
He glared down at me.
Rule Z, he announced. You must be 3 feet tall to play.
I glanced at the beasts. They were at least 10 feet tall.
He said 8.
So much for Flagg's rules.
Well, thanks for explaining, I said, shaking my head. But we really can't play this game. We have to find our parents and...
You must play, Flagg growled.
You're it.
You're the beast from the east.
Play or surrender.
The sun will be going down soon,
Spork added, licking his fang.
You have until the sun goes down behind the glow willow tree,
Flagg said.
Then the beast from the east is the loser.
Spork made a choking sound. His ugly laugh.
You will make a delicious loser. I'm thinking about maybe a sweet and sour sauce. I mean, the yellow spot in your hand reminded me of the Chinamen. Great, great food. I like their pho. Or perhaps you'd go better with something a little more spicy.
The creatures all gagged and choked. They thought Spork was a riot. I promise you, right now, there's a terrible all-girl punk band that's in junior high that mostly does anti-flag covers that's called Spork Riot, and they're the worst band in the world. They're like the musical version of Vogue on Poetry. Flagg turned to the woods. He stopped. Oh, he added with an evil grin.
Good luck.
Good luck, Spork repeated.
He poked a finger into his open eye socket and scratched inside. Then he turned and lumbered after Flagg. The other creatures followed.
The earth
trembled under their heavy feet. In a few moments, the clearing stood empty again. I gaped at Nat. This wasn't a game. These evil monsters searched the woods for lost kids, and then they... What are we going to do? Nat cried. Maybe they already ate Pat. Maybe they found him on a brown free lunch square. And Mom and Dad, too, I murmured. He let out a frightened gasp. There has to be someplace safe, I told him. The way we use the porch at home when we play tag. Nat swallowed nervously. What's safe here? I shrugged. Jesus. I don't know, I admitted. We can call time out, Nat suggested. You're always allowed a time out in every game. This is different. This is for our lives, I said softly. The leaves rustled in the trees above us. The wind made the gourds whistle. I heard a low growl. Then a creature laughed. That ugly, gagging sound. Twigs crackled. Bushes swayed. I heard low grunts. We'd better start playing, Nat urged. They sound hungry.
Okay, sorry. In the immortal words of Frank Reynolds, I just had to switch gears really quick here. So now I got three gears going at once, which I'm fairly confident works out perfectly well because I drive an automatic and I don't understand how gears work. Now I'm drinking a vodka and diet cherry vanilla cream Hansen's Chapter 11. Hoo-ha!
How can we play? I cried. There's no way we can win. There are too many of them. And how do we even know where the Gola tree is? So what? Nat demanded. We don't have a choice, do we?
The leaves in a tree branch over our heads rustled. Their branches started thrashing around. Thud.
I shrieked and leaped back. Something small and brown hit the ground at my feet. Oh no, I shit myself!
Oh wait, sorry. One of those small brown animals we'd seen earlier. It rubbed up against my leg and made a gurgling sound.
At least these little guys aren't mean, Nat said. He reached down to pet it. The animal snapped at Nat's hand, clamping four rows of tiny, sharp teeth. Whoa! Nat jerked his hand away and leaped back. The animal scurried into the underbrush. Nat swallowed hard.
Weird, he murmured.
What kind of forest is this? How come there aren't any normal animals? Shh! I placed my finger over my lips and scowled.
Listen.
I don't hear shit, Nat complained.
Exactly, I answered and started making out with my brother. Just kidding, that's not what happened at all. The growls and grunts and choking laughter had vanished. The woods were quiet. Really quiet. Quiet. Riot. Quiet. I want someone to want me.
Now is our chance, I cried. Let's run for it. I grabbed his hand.
Wait, Nat cried. Which way? I squinted around the clearing.
Back to the stream, I declared. We'll try to follow it back to Mom and Dad. Maybe we'll hear their voices along the water.
Okay, Nat agreed. We raced across the clearing and plunged into the woods and pushed through the thick line of trees. I peered ahead in the forest.
This way, I shouted, pointing to my left.
Why?
Nat asked. Because, I said impatiently. I see light through the trees up ahead. That means the woods are thin. There were fewer trees near the stream, remember?
Oh, Pat's the one that likes to climb trees, huh? And he's the one's missing? He's probably just been hanging out in a tree this whole time. Just saying.
I hurried on. Nat followed. We ran silently for a while. The trees did begin to thin out soon. Scraggling bushes dotted the ground.
There! I shouted.
Nat nearly crashed into me. Oh.
Up ahead.
The stream, Nat exclaimed. He slapped me a high five.
Excited now, we began to run. We reached the water at the same time.
Now what?
Nat asked.
Let's head left again, I suggested. The sun was in our eyes when we started, so now we won't want it at our backs.
Yes, I thought.
We were definitely headed the way we came. All we had to do now was follow the stream back to the right clearing, back to our parents.
Wait, the sun direction changes time twice,
or once a day or whatever, right? But the flow of the water never changes. Unless there's a tsunami. Maybe changing gears was a bad idea. Stay low, I told Nat. Try not to make any noise, just in case. In case the beasts were following us, and keep an eye out for Pat, I added. I had no idea if Pat was still in the woods or not. I hoped he made it back to our camp, but he could be anywhere. Maybe hiding someplace nearby, alone, and scared. Thinking about how scared Pat might be made me feel braver. We had to stay calm so we could help Pat. It always made me feel good about myself when my brother was in life-threatening danger. Nat and I crouched down. We scooted along the stream, pushing through the umbrella bushes that grew close to the water's edge. I could still see the silvery blue fish circling below the surface of the water. Gazing at the fish, I stumbled. I grabbed at a leaf on an umbrella bush to steady myself. That leaf shredded in my hand. Blue sap smeared on my fingers. Oh. Well, I don't have a group of people that are blue. Oh, wait, there's that those people in, like, Tennessee or Kentucky, right? That were so fucking inbred they turned blue? She gave them hand jobs! Yes! Keeping with the theme. Not again. Another color. Yellow, red, and now blue. Ginger, come here! Nat's cry startled me. I rushed to his side. Nat pointed to the ground. I glanced down, afraid of what I would see. A footprint. I said, frowning. Then I let out a whoop. Nat's boot rested inside the footprint perfectly. It was the same size as his. Pat, we said together. He's been here. Nat cried joyfully. Fine, I'll drink it with the fucking coaster attached if you want to be a bitch-ass coaster. Yes, I shouted. Pat had found his way back to the stream. Maybe he's already made it back to camp, Nat said excitedly. We can follow his footprints. We started out eagerly. With each step, I pictured Mom and Dad and Pat's smiling faces when Nat and I showed up at camp. Pat's footprints marched along the stream for a while. Then they veered into the woods. We followed them through the trees and found ourselves on a narrow path. That was disgusting. Oh, God. The human body is a fucking repulsive thing. I don't know why any of us put up with it. As soon as I'm offered, I'm just filling my shit with robotics. The trees grew closer together. Overhead, the sun disappeared from view. The air grew damp and cold. I heard a familiar growl. Right behind us, the ground shook. Beasts! I screamed. Run! I pushed Nat forward. We sprinted down the path. It curved to the right, and then back to the left. I had no idea which direction we were going now. Branches of trees whipped our faces. I struggled to shove them aside. The trees swayed and shook above our heads. Gourds hit the ground all around us. Something warm and wet tangled itself around my arm. I yanked free. Another wet thing grabbed me. Vines. Thick, yellow, 6-second annoying vines. I really don't think that Vine was ever publicly traded or anything, but if you invested in that shit, when all Instagram had to do was say, yeah, we added 15 seconds of video, and then Vine was over, and no one cared. Some draped over the branches of the trees, dangling onto the forest floor. Others sprouted from the tree trunks. They wrapped around each other, weaving thick nets from tree to tree. Also, speaking of Instagram, I'm on Instagram as Dune_M. Dune_M. That's my name. It's mostly pictures of Franklin and Yoda and Scarlet. And sometimes I'm like, this is booze, I'm drinking it. Because at heart, I'm always a 14-year-old girl. Some vines stretched across the path. Nat and I had to jump and twist and shout, leaping over the vines in our way. It was hard work. I could hear Nat breathing hard. Wait, is R.L. Stine just describing the original Pitfall? My side ached. My breath came in short, sharp bursts. I longed to rest, but we couldn't rest. The ground was shaking under our feet. The woods echoed with thunderous cries. The beasts were coming, and they were gaining on us.
Watch out, Nat warned. I spotted a tangled web of vines strung across the path. Nat jumped the web. He cleared it. I gathered myself, and I leaped. I leaped high, but not high enough. Vines wrapped around my ankles, and I fell to the ground. Okay, maybe this isn't the initial thing I thought it was. Maybe it's just Jumanji. More thick yellow vines twisted around my legs. Speaking of movies and vines, I really hope this doesn't go where Evil Dead 2, or Evil Dead 1, whatever, goes with the vines. And by where Evil Dead goes with the vines, I mean in her vagina. Frantically, I grabbed at them and tried to pull them off. If you pull off the vines, they don't just finish and give up like a man. The vines tugged back, hard. Nat, I shrieked for help. Help! I'm stuck, he cried. His voice cracked. Help me, Ginger. I couldn't help him. I couldn't move. I glanced down at my legs. The vines were tugging tighter and tighter. I looked like a morbidly obese woman's varicose veins all the way up my veins and body in yellow, like a yellow body like Dune's because of cirrhosis. Another vine inched around my waist. It had to be a long vine because I was fat. I gaped down. What are those shiny things? Eyes? Eyes! I shouted out. Vines don't have eyes. And then I realized what I was staring at. The vines weren't vines. They were snakes! Chapter number 12, I screamed. Ginger, Nat cried behind me. These aren't vines, they're snakes! Tell me something I don't know. I groaned like a total fucking douchebag and completely inappropriate in the situation. The snake around my waist uncoiled and slithered onto my right arm. It was covered with thick scales that felt rough against my bare skin. I took a deep breath. Then I wrapped my left hand around the snake's body. It was warm. I yanked hard, tried to pull it off. Skeet, 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 skeet. No way. The snake coiled tighter around my arm. Its cold, hard eyes stared up at me. Its tongue flicked in and out. I felt something brush against my thigh. I glanced down. Another snake climbed to my body. It went right into my vagina, and I became pregnant with a snake baby. Snake baby! Sweat ran down my forehead. Ginger, help! Nat wailed. They're climbing all over me. Me too! I stammered. I glanced at my brother. His eyes bulged in terror. He twisted and squirmed, trying to free himself. The snake around my thigh pulled back its head and stared at me with those piercing eyes. The snake around my arm wound tighter and tighter until my fingers turned numb. God, I wish I had my kit with me, because I'd totally shoot up right now, because my veins are popping, I thought. It hissed, a long, slow hiss, as if it had all the time in the world. They're going to attack, Nat cried in a strangled voice. I didn't answer. I felt a wiry tongue, oh God, I zoomed out, flick against my neck. Cold. Their tongues were cold and prickly. I squeezed my eyes shut and held my breath. Don't bite. Please don't bite, I prayed. A growl disturbed the bushes around us. Flag jumped out of the bushes. He stared at Nat and me, his mouth open. I gasped. I saw Flag's eyes bulge in surprise as he spotted the snakes. Double snake eyes! I think that was his voice, he called out, my entire body trembling. I gaped at him in horror. Double snake eyes? Was that a good or bad thing? Chapter number 13, the 13th chapter. Congratulations! Double snake eyes! Flag cried. He shook his head in wonder. Are you And you said you'd never played this game before. God, I think that voice is completely different. The snakes tightened around me. I stared at him. What are you talking about? 20 points! That's what I'm talking about, the huge beast grunted. I'd better play harder, or you're going to win. Who cares about winning? I screamed. I can't breathe. Get these snakes off! Flag grinned. Off? He screamed with laughter. The folds of skin under his jaw flapped up and down. That's a good one. We mean it, Nat pleaded. Get them off of us. Flag seemed confused. What? Why? He asked. They might bite you.
We know, I screamed. Please help us. The snakes flicked their tongues against my cheek. My stomach lurched.
Flag grinned. If they bite you, you could be awarded a triple hisser. He exclaimed, we're 60 points.
Points for getting bitten, some game. Forget about points, I shrieked. Get them off now.
Flag shrugged. Okay.
He stepped up to me. Then he pushed a claw under the snake that was coiled around my arm.
You need claws to do this right, he bragged.
Flag scratched his claw along the snake's skin. I could feel the snake loosening its grip.
That ticklish, Flag explained, somehow turning into an old gay man.
He yanked the snake away and tossed it into the woods. He tickled the other snake, then pulled it from my leg. Then he turned to Nat and repeated the same motions, tickling the snakes and prying them loose. When Flag was done, he leaped toward the edge of the woods. I struggled to my feet and rubbed my arms and legs. My whole body itched and tickled. I knew I'd seen those snakes in my dreams. Flag stuck his furry head out of the tree.
You could have tagged me, he called. Too bad.
He opened his mouth in a gagging laugh. Then he plunged into the woods and disa-fucking-peered. My mouth dropped open. I stared at him in disbelief. Tag, Nat cried. Now I get it. It's just like tag. The rules are easy, Ginger. He turned to face me. Touch one of the beasts and you won't be it anymore. You won't be the beast from the east. Nat took off, running after Flag. No, wait, Nat! I started after them. I stepped on something hard. I heard a crunch, another crunch. I glanced down. Ugh, God, it was the chipmunk monsters. Just kidding. Nat, stop, I screamed. I spotted an orange rock at my feet. I picked it up and hurled it at Nat. Hey, stop! I glanced down at my hand. Orange. My fingers had turned orange where they had grasped the rock.
Oh, great. She's giving a handjob to someone on Jersey Shore.
Nailed it. The rock smacked into a tree. Nat stopped, whirled around. What'd you do that for? He cried. To stop you. Listen, Ginger, Nat urged. You have to tag one of the beasts. It's the only way to win the game. To stay alive. I don't think so, I said calmly as I could. Nat scowled. What's your problem? It's just like tag.
No, I said. It's not like tag.
Not the game we used to play. I pointed at the ground. Nat stepped closer. He gazed down where I was pointing. He gasped. What is that? He asked. Chapter...
Number 14. That's a 1 followed by a 4.
Bones, I murmured. A pile of animal bones. Nat and I stared. The bones gleamed coldly in the sunlight, picked clean. Notice anything else? I pointed to the ground beside the bones. What? Nat frowned.
It's brown, I said. They're probably the bones of black people. That's how it works, right?
Oh, sorry, I meant the grass under the bones. It's a square, brown patch. Free lunch. Nat swallowed hard. A beast ate it, he murmured. Whatever it was, I wrapped my arms around my chest. This is not like tag, Nat, I told him solemnly. I couldn't take my eyes off the poor animal's bones. This game is deadly. Like huffing ball. Only if we lose... Nat said, Ginger, we just saw Flag. He helped us.
So? I asked.
So, we'll make him help us again. How can we do that? Nat grinned. Easy. We'll trick him. Pretend to need help. Pretend you have another snake on you or something.
Right, I replied, rolling my eyes.
Like I was really going to let Flag near me again. Nat grabbed my arm. It'll work. You scream for help. Flag gets close. You jump out and tag him. Nat snapped his fingers. I shook my head. Forget about it. The new Hulu original series. Seriously, who the fuck is going to watch that? Dear God, they made me watch a commercial when I was trying to see my sweet, sweet Shark Tank. I'm going to find the stream again and get the fuck out of here.
Why are you so stubborn?
Nat cried.
Because I'm it, I screamed. I'm the one they're going to eat. I know. We can win if we try, Nat stammered.
I took a few deep breaths and tried to get rid of the panic in my chest. Okay, I said finally.
Okay, I'll try it.
What should I do?
Chapter number...
Cocktail.
Mmm.
15. Nat beamed at me. First, I'll climb a tree, he said. I can spot the beasts hiding places from up there. I gazed up at all the tall, leafy trees around us. I thought about it. All we needed was to tag one beast. Any beast. It could even be that beastly Kardashian, because that girl looked like a beast, you know what I'm saying? She looked like the elephant man. Oh, snap! Do it, I told Nat, but don't stay up there too long. Nat searched the woods for the best tree. That one, he said finally. The tree was tall. Dozens of sturdy branches sprang from its sides. In the center of each branch was a big, strong knot. Tiny golden leaves covered the branches. The tree looked strong. Strong enough to hold Nat. This is a cinch, he assured me. As easy as climbing a ladder, I'll be able to see everything from up here. I waited near the base of the tree. Nat placed his foot on the lowest branch and hoisted himself up. He climbed slowly, steadily, like that fucking turtle won that race and shit, you know what I'm saying? See anything yet? I called anxiously. I see a weird nest, he shouted down, with big eggs. What about beasts? I yelled. Do you see them? Not yet. Nat climbed higher. A few seconds later, he disappeared from view. Nat, can you hear me? I called. I cupped my hands around my mouth. Nat, where are you? Answer me! I rushed around the tree, peering up through the branches. I spotted Nat near the very top. Nat was moving carefully. He let go of one branch and pulled himself onto the next highest branch. Don't you pull yourself up and then let go? The top of the tree swayed dangerously. I caught my breath. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Not if I had to climb up and rescue him. Nat, my throat hurt from shouting so loud. Be careful. The trunk swayed back and forth, slowly at first, then faster. Bits of loose bark broke off and fell in slow spirals toward the ground. The thick branches swished back and forth. Each branch started to bend in the middle. At the knots, I stared. By the way, it says bend in the middle, and then the next paragraph is just at the knots. So it wasn't me being an idiot. But I should just not do these things where I have to defend my reading over the book and the actual formatting of it, because it just makes me look shitty and it ruins momentum. I stared. The branches reminded me of something familiar. Dongs, I thought. Or arms! Better yet, arms! The knots were like elbows, and the branches were like big arms reaching. I blinked. Was I seeing things? The branches were reaching. They were reaching for Nat. Nat! I screamed. High above me, I saw him grasp onto a slender branch. Nat! I ran frantically around the base of the tree, pounding my fists on the trunk. Nat, come down! I yelled. The tree is alive! And this ends part one of The Beast from the East by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Part two will be next Saturday. This one's going up on Saturday despite me finishing it on Friday. That's how I do things now, that fucking efficiently. I'm like, oh, sorry, Saturday's the release date. Then Lax Dude's like, Dune, it's Saturday, am I gonna get stuff? And I'm like, no, I'm drinking alone at Applebee's because my life sucks. However, I'm going to put it up as soon as I can because I didn't do it last week because of archive.org and I got everything up there in torrent form. Stop yelling at me, Lax Dude, stop yelling at me, god damn it! Woo!
Stay spooky, bitches.
Dad would step into my room and sing to me softly.
very softly. The same song every night. Nitro Burnin' Funny Bong by Guar.
Sweet youth, the joys of becoming a teenage prostitute, or in my case, a blood-crazed gladiator. Now I'm stuck on this planet and I'm hooked on the weed and the crack and the booze and the pills and the speed and the sex and the mud and the blood and the shit. Let's all go in it. We're talking about the night. Fuck!
This is gonna be the worst Goosebumps ever. Maybe I'll start over completely. Yeah, I think I will. Dear God, seriously. I'm gonna put this track at the very end.